Well, God morning to you. Welcome back to the God School. I've been spending more time in the Psalms of David, who is referenced as a man after God's own heart. And we have, there is no one in the Old Testament of whom more is written about. In 1 Samuel 21, this is speaking of the man whom God's prophet Samuel, when he was still a youth, anointed him to be king over Israel. Think on this. And we find after that happening, circumstance after circumstance after circumstance, which seems to defy what God had set apart. We read in the 21st chapter of 1 Samuel, it says, "And David arose and fled that day for fear of Saul." This was the one of whom David was to take his place. God said, "You're going to be king." And David fled for fear of Saul. And where did he go? And went to Achish, king of Gath. Gath. Goliath was of Gath. David is reminded just before these verses of that great victory God gave him over Goliath. And now David flees to the enemy. It goes on to say, "And the servants of Achish said unto him, Is this not David the king of the land? And did they not sing one to another of him in dances, saying, Saul has slain his thousands, and David his 10,000s. Listen to the next verse, where this is speaking of experience. And David laid up these words in his heart and was sore afraid of Achish, king of Gath. We don't have time to read it all. 22nd verse or 22nd chapter opens and says, "David therefore departed thence and escaped to the cave of Adullam. And when his brethren and all his father's house heard it, they went down there to him. And everyone that was in distress, and everyone that was in debt, and everyone that was discontented gathered themselves unto him. And he, that is David, became a captain over them. And there were with him about 400 men. In the midst of this experience, David writes four psalms. Psalm 142. Psalm 34, Psalm 56, Psalm 57. Today, I want to look at our journey of faith through the eyes of David. The story of David tells that his highs were higher than ours, and his lows were lower than ours. And he made it through these circumstances, which are told for our example, that we might also, excuse me, by faith, make it through. It says in that 21st chapter of Samuel that David was sore afraid. Part of that experience, he lost faith. But that's not the end of the story, for we have this journal of David in the midst of that experience. Psalm 56, it says to the chief musician upon Jonath Elam Rakoyim, Miktam of David. Miktam, the King James would offer an alternative. It says a golden psalm. Miktam means engraven, substantial, that which is fixed, unmovable, steadfast, lasting, stability, permanence, enduring. My hope is that this would also become our miktam. And this one, called a man after God's own heart, starts out and he says, be merciful unto me, O God. For man would swallow me up. He, fighting daily, oppresses me. mine enemies would daily swallow me up. For they be many that fight against me, O Thou Most High. He's facting. He's looking around. He's telling God what he sees. But his response is, what time I am afraid, I will trust in thee. I will cling hard in thee. In God, I will praise his word. In God have I put my trust. I will not fear what flesh can do unto me. I have a little note in my Bible. It's helped me. I hope it helps you. I have written, not even my own flesh. Think on that. Every day they wrest my words, they twist them. And all their thoughts are against me for evil. They gather themselves together, they hide themselves. Listen to this. In other words, in this Christian journey, this journey of faith, we not only encounter enemies that can be seen, but enemies that are unseen. They mark my steps. When they wait for my soul, his response, shall they escape by iniquity? His prayer, in your anger, cast down the people, O God. Thou tellest my wanderings. Lord, thou knowest, Psalm 139 says, my down sittings and mine uprisings. Thou knowest my thoughts afar off. Before they're on my lips, thou knowest them altogether. Feeling sorry for himself, he says, put thou my tears into thy bottle. We all go through it. This teacher is not immune. We go through valleys of weeping. I have a little note here in my Bible that at one time Dr. Scott was teaching on this psalm, and he makes the exclamation, bottles are for breaking. Forget about the tears. Thou tellest my wanderings. Put thou my tears into thy bottle. Are they not in thy book? When I cry, then David boldly says, mine enemies, turn back. This I know, for God is for me. In God will I praise his word. In the Lord will I praise his word. In God I have put my trust. I will not be afraid of what man can do unto me. For this I know. Folks, this Word of God, this revelation that God has given to us, it says, this I know, for God is for me. What about this knowing? Fifth chapter of Romans says, therefore, being righteousified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom also we have access by faith into this grace wherein we stand and rejoice in the hope of the glory of God. And not only so, but we glory in tribulation also, knowing that tribulation works endurance, a mikvah. And endurance, experience, that's triedness. Don't let the circumstance of the day take over that gift of faith that God has given you, knowing that tribulation works endurance, and endurance experience. We made it through that one. I'm 68 years old. I can't count the number of times. Sometimes in a day, when circumstance is attempting to break my faith. We have the experience of David, anointed king. God said, and that first book of Samuel gives us experience after experience and says, no, God didn't know what he was talking about. But God does know what he's talking about. And God does what he says. And knowing tribulation works endurance, and endurance experience, we made it through that one. And because we made it through that one, we have hope. And regardless of circumstance that we might find ourselves in, God said, and that hope that God said maketh not ashamed. 2 Corinthians 4, 13 says, we have the same spirit of faith. According as it is written, I believe, therefore I have spoken. We also believe and therefore speak. That's Psalm 116. Go read it, folks. We don't have time this morning. Therefore we speak, knowing that he which raised up the Lord Jesus shall raise up us also by Jesus, and shall present us with you, for all things are for your sake, that the abundant grace might through the thanksgiving of many redound to the glory of God, for which cause we faint not, and but though the outward man perish, yet the inward man is renewed day by day. For our light affliction, which is but for a moment, worketh for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory, while we look not on the things which are seen. This is this journey of faith, but at the things which are not seen. For the things which are seen are temporal, they'll pass away, but the things which are not seen are eternal. For we know don't forget that which we should not forget that which we know. That God is for us. For we know that if our earthly house of this tabernacle were dissolved, we have a building of God, a house not made with hands, eternal in the heavens. For this we groan earnestly, desiring to be clothed upon with our house, which is from heaven. Back to Psalm 56. In God will I praise his word. In the Lord I will praise his word. The transliterating the Hebrew, it says, in Elohim, halal dabar, in Jehovah, halal dabar. I was going a little deeper, and you know, I always have to say this, folks. I cannot read, write, or speak Hebrew. I cannot read, write, or speak Greek, but in his wisdom, God has provided for all of us tools. I was in one computer program, blueletterbible.com. It's a wonderful tool. I hope any of you who are earnestly seeking to know more about God might use that tool. But it says of this second part of verse 10, it says, in Kyrios, that's what they called Jesus in the Greek. It's from the Septuagint. The Septuagint is that Greek translation done by 70 Hebrew scholars down in Alexandria, Egypt, about 200 years before Christ, which became that scripture which was the scripture of Jesus's day. And it says in the Kyrios, and the last word is in the Greek, logos, speaking of Jesus. John says, in the beginning was the word, logos, talking about Jesus. I will praise Jesus. Think on that. In God I have put my trust. I will not be afraid what man can do unto me. Thy vows. Let's back up here a second. In reading some commentaries, I came across one that I wanted to share with you with regard to this 10th verse. Let me read, please. It says, in God will I praise his word. Luther renders this, I will praise the word of God. The phrase in God means probably in respect to God, or in what pertains to God, that which he would particularly praise or celebrate in respect to God, that which called for the most decided expressions of praise and gratitude was his word, his promise, his revealed truth. So in Psalm 138, verse 2, it says, thou hast magnified thy word above all thy name. That is, above all other manifestations of thyself. The allusion in this passage here is to what God has spoken to David, or the promise which he had made, the declaration of his gracious purposes in regard to him. Second Corinthians 1:20 says, all the promises of God are in him, that is, in Jesus, yea, and in him, amen. That is, no doubt, we therefore The children of God have the right, the license, to grab hold of all the promises of God as though they are our promises, because they are. Let me go on to continue in the commentary. Amidst all the perfections of the deity and all which God had done for him, this now seemed to him to have special preeminence in his praises. The word of God was to him that which impressed his mind deeply, that which most tenderly affected his heart. There are times when we feel this and properly feel it. Times when, in the contemplation of divine perfections and dealings, our minds so rest on his word, on his truth, on what he has revealed, on his gracious promises, on the disclosures of a plan of redemption, on the assurance of heaven hereafter, on the instructions which he has given us about himself and his plans, about ourselves, our duty, and our prospects, that this absorbs all our thoughts. And we feel that this is the great blessing for which we are to be thankful. This, the great mercy for which we are to praise him. What would the life of man be without the Bible? What a dark, gloomy, sad course would be ours on earth if we had nothing to guide us to a better world. So much is in the news about the chaos with our leadership. I listen to these men who seem to be somewhat, and they are so ignorant of the Word of God, it sometimes drives me crazy. But God is in control, and his promises are everlasting. They're engraven. They're substantial. They are that which are fixed. They are lasting, steadfast. They are permanent. They are enduring. In the Lord will I praise his word. In Yahweh, that is, whether I contemplate God in the usual name by which he is known, Elohim, or by the more sacred name which he has assumed, Yahweh, that which seems now to me to lay the foundation of the loftiest praise and most hearty thanksgiving is that he has spoken to people and made known. Known his will in his revealed truth. Jesus said in John 17, thy word is truth. In this journey of faith, in this battle, to which, or better put, in this battle wherein we are called, God provides us his armor, most of it defensive. There's one offensive weapon that's spoken about, that is the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. In God will I praise his word. In the Lord will I praise his logos. And the essence of the meaning of that word is all that we need to know about God is revealed through the logos, Jesus Christ. In God have I put my trust. I will not be afraid. What man can do unto me? Hold on. Grab hold. What time I am afraid, I will trust in thee, oh God. Thy vows are upon me, oh God. I will render praises unto thee. This 12th verse can be understood two ways. Thy promises are upon me, oh God. I will render praises unto thee, or because of your promises and my responses, I have made vows unto you, and I will render praises. The second is very probably in some specific act or promise that he would devote himself to God if he would deliver him, or as an expression of his gratitude for deliverance. I will render praises unto thee. Literally, I will recompense praises unto thee. That is, I will pay what I have vowed, or I will faithfully perform my vow. This is a powerful example that we have of a man of faith, of the journey of faith that we're on of the engraven, substantial, that which is fixed, the lasting, immovable, steadfast, performance, enduring, for this I know, for God is for us. I don't normally end this way, but I would say, if today's message has brought light, is continuing to encourage you through God's word, through this man, then a special act, an act of thanksgiving should be made to those of you who know how. I say do it. And if you're new to the God School, and are moved by the Word of God, by the Spirit that God has put in you, if you have this knowledge and this message witnessed to you and reminded you and cause it to be substantial in your hearts, you also should participate in a thanksgiving offering to God and as I said, if you don't know how, if you're new, send me a comment. I will respond. I'm not looking to create a mailing list. You'll probably never hear from me personally in terms of, sending out letters. That's not what the God School is about. But I will tell you how you might go about rendering praises unto God. The 13th verse says, now look, this psalm is written in the midst of that 21st and 22nd chapter of 1 Samuel. There's nothing that appeared substantial. But David nonetheless says, for thou hast delivered my soul from death, a better translation of the next part of the phrase is, hast thou not delivered my feet from falling, that I may walk before God in the land of the living. Prophecy of Scripture is of private interpretation. The Scripture witnesses itself. Jesus said in the 12th verse of John 8, I am the light of the world. He that followeth me shall not walk in darkness, but shall have the light of life. And in the 5th verse of the 9th chapter, as long as I'm in the world, I am the light of the world, that I may walk before God in Jesus. That's the good news of the gospel. For faith, God has placed us in Christ Jesus, that we may walk before him in light. It's not a question here, folks. It's a declaration. David is saying, hast thou not delivered my feet from failing, from falling? He is speaking of the future. He's still in the cave at Adullam, but he has those promises of God, those engraven, substantial words. And by them, though he has tribulation, he understands tribulation works endurance. And endurance, experience. We made it through that one. We'll make it through this one. For the word of our God shall stand forever. Hallelujah. Amen. That is no doubt. And we give thanks always. It's better put in the New Testament, it says, in everything give thanks, for this is the will of God toward us, for us in the Lord Jesus Christ. Be thankful. Express it today with an act of faith, with an act of thanksgiving. And that's the God School for today.